Hi everyone, I'm Vicki Rogers, Chief Learning Officer here at World Commerce and Contracting. I'm excited to share with you that we've partnered with Robert Zaft, author of The Right Way to Win, Making Business Ethics Work in the Real World, in order to offer a new, highly engaging learning program that provides the foundational understanding, the tools and techniques to create an organizational culture that spurs both ethical behavior and business success. Robert recently sat down to speak with our president, Tim Cummings, to chat about this subject and our new program. And I think you'll enjoy the conversation. Thanks for engaging.
Robert, hello. It's a great pleasure to be with you again. I'm sorry we're not able to be physically together, but having our conversation across about 4,000 miles today, I think. And this, of course, is such an important topic of growing importance. But why now, specifically, does this seem the right time to launch this program?
Well, there's an issue of both, I'll call it carrot and stick, and that is the same managerial tools and techniques that drive ethical behavior also drive business success. So this is about a business doing better, and it's about people enjoying more success. That's a very real world issue. Secondly, we'd have to note from a carrot, from a stick perspective, regulators across the world are increasingly getting prescriptive, and they want to see ethics, compliance, and governance baked into the DNA of the organizations that they're regulating. This is both, for example, the US, the UK Serious Fraud Office, it's the United States Department of Justice, and it is a global movement. I think that you would find companies where if the company has made a sincere effort to follow the guidelines that the governments are laying out, the governments will show leniency and they may focus on the few errant employees, but they're not going to penalize the companies greatly. The flip side of that, of course, is that the employees themselves are at greater individual exposure. So why now? Much greater pressure to perform, both from the marketplace, from communities and social media, and also from regulators who've made very clear their expectations and have a very, very large cudgel to swing should something go wrong.
Yeah, a great point there. And I think, of course, as you rightly say, regulators are also giving credit to those who do things well. And I suppose we've seen some recent initiatives of that sort, for example, from the US Federal Drugs Administration with its sort of much more trust-based build up trust, and you're going to have a lighter hand of regulation in a sense. So this ultimately, I'd just like to pick up on your point. You talked there about ethics, compliance, and governance. So how do you see those interconnected?
Well, they work together. Ethics is broader than mere compliance. And so some companies such as Arthur Andersen, which constantly said that it was always compliant with the law, it was never breaking the law, was also exceeding certain ethical bounds that got the company into hot water. And I think ultimately got the company indicted because the government had come to the determination that playing so close to this line all the time was not going to yield the company any mercy should a real problem arise. And this is where Warren Buffett says, for example, make your money in the center of the court. There's plenty of money to be made there. If something looks close to the line, pretend it's out and just let it go. That was great advice when given, but the current market and the current state of reputational risk is that the lines shift. And what appeared to be in the center of the court a few years ago was no longer in the center of the court and might actually be viewed outside the lines. And this would be an issue for a company like McKinsey, which was lawfully and in good faith counseling and advising an opioid manufacturer. And even the government has said that McKinsey showed social consciousness and good faith at this point in time, but the lines have shifted on McKinsey. And whether it should have been more wary in the past, it certainly is wary now. And so that's also something that is important to understand is the market for reputation, the kind of considerations of stakeholder interests you have to think about as you are launching a new product or service, and the potential impact in terms of both compliance and reputational risk.
Yeah, that's a tremendous point there, as you're rightly saying. This isn't just about regulation, and certainly isn't just about regulation today. We do have to increasingly take a more nuanced and forward-looking view of what is the right thing to do. But can people actually be taught to make the right ethical decision, particularly in such volatile conditions?
Well, I would say most managers realize that hiring the right people is 90% of managing, because your most problematic 10% will probably take up 90% of your managerial bandwidth. That said, it's not enough to go with your gut. That some formal understanding of ethical frameworks is necessary. In addition, it's also essential to understand that within the context of a business organization, ethics and compliance and governance are not just about your personal preferences or your personal sense of what's right and wrong. That there are duties you owe to the larger organization, there are processes that are required, and often there's a governance process because one person's view may not align with someone else's, even if they're both using the same ethical framework and even if they're both trying to do the right thing. So understanding the interplay of this is more than just being a moral person. It's about someone who has enough background education and awareness in the rules and the techniques of proper behavior and of governance to make sure they're making both solid and defensible decisions.
And I guess a key characteristic in all of this is, in a sense, curiosity. It's about actually taking an interest in the views of others, in having greater empathy. I mean, obviously, the principles of what is ethical are not necessarily consistent across different jurisdictions and cultures, for example. So this does require, particularly for a community like those in contracting, commercial management, procurement, legal, where we're at the heart of a lot of those core business relationships, often in an international context. You know, we do have to have that interest, that curiosity in other viewpoints.
In other viewpoints and in other cultures, an openness to understanding that the way that one has approached things in the past might not work in another jurisdiction, or in fact, might not even work in the same jurisdiction. So I think along with curiosity, I would say, should come a certain humility. People are naturally inclined to value their equity of knowledge very highly. And I think in the modern business world, you have to be willing to say, okay, I have a lot of experience, which has led me to believe that I know the following things, but are they still so? So Mark Twain used to say, it's not what you don't know that hurts you, it's what you're absolutely sure of that ain't so. And so the curiosity you mentioned, as well as I think the humility that should come with it, says, okay, what's out there that I don't know? How do I think about acquiring this knowledge, and how do I think about applying it once I have it?
But Robert, isn't a cynic going to say, you know, this is all very well, but unfortunately, you know, the bottom line will always win. And so ethics is a nice to have, and it will always be a trade-off.
I got my start as an American lawyer working in Russia in the 1990s. This is when bankers were getting blown up on Main Street at rush hour. So I do not have a Pollyannish viewpoint on this. What I can say after 30 years of experience, including in some very low rule of law jurisdictions such as post-Soviet Russia and Chicago, is that the same tools and techniques that drive ethical behavior drive long-term business success. And one critical reason is that typically the greatest victim of wrongdoing by owners and directors and employees of a company will be the company itself. You could think about the $20 billion that Boeing lost because of a few people and the 737 MAX program. You can think of the over $5 billion that Goldman Sachs had to pay out because of a couple rogue directors in East Asia. So there's logic, and I understand the cynics, but there's also experience. And experience teaches us that ethics, compliance, and governance are inextricably linked with long-term business success. Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, of course, they are not really that overhead if, in fact, you've built it properly into the DNA of the organization, which takes us back to where we began.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for spending this time with us. I'm really excited about the program that you've built and the obviously the accompanying books that you've just released. And it's, I think, a fantastic opportunity for the members of World Commerce and Contracting, and indeed the community well beyond that, to really start to grasp ethics as a key component of their application and their working practices, which of course is ultimately personally satisfying, but is also absolutely at the core of a good, healthy society. So thank you for spending your time with us in this program and for talking about it with us today.
Delighted. Thank you very much, Tim.